Here we go. Here we go. Thank you, Liz. Oh boy. You know what? I'm just gonna start that again from the top. I tripped right out of the gate. I know Jason's gonna keep this in. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Before we get started for real, a question I have for our devoted listeners. Does anyone have an idea as to why the Stoop Kids detention timeframes, you know, those time slots we have, they seem to be filling up with more and more people lately? I mean, it almost seems like y'all are intentionally getting into mischief so that you can stay after school with us and get invited over to our place for romantic dinners with, like, Italian food, which if that's the case, then I don't know. It's kind of working. Be that as it may, I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry. You can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
That's right. And also with us in the booth today is our favorite fake boyfriend, the notorious super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod, and as you might have guessed, that is kids with a Z. Today we'll be delving into episode 21 of Hey Arnold, and we'll naturally start with episode 21A, which is of course called Helga's Boyfriend. Original air date, January 8th, 1997. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Helga uses Stinky as her boyfriend to try to make Arnold jealous. And as always, shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible. We've got Jamie Mitchell back supervising the direction. We've got Larry Leeklider and Tuck Tucker co-directing this episode. And Rachel Lippman and Steve Vixton co-writing this episode. So pretty solid crew with this episode that we're talking about today, the first half anyway. Second half as well, spoilers, but we'll kick it over to Harry here. Harry, what do you think about this episode?
Hey, thanks, Cody. I love this episode a lot for a lot of different reasons. First and foremost, I guess, maybe most importantly in terms of the influence it has on the show, I think that the whole, like, trials and tribulations of young romance, that is obviously a theme with Helga and Arnold that carries through the entire show, but it's also one that's going to become a big deal with Arnold with his subsequent crush on Lila, and then with Big Patty's arc as well. And so to get there early and to sort of see that Hey Arnold was already thinking about the importance of, like, how when you're a kid that age and you're starting to discover sort of romance, like, romantic feelings and feelings of affection are as sort of inwardly focused and identity focused as they are outwardly focused, which can create these funny situations like the ones that we saw in this episode, where Stinky originally just sort of in it to be with or to get a candy bar out of Helga, he ends up sort of, like, recategorizing her in his mind, and that's all it takes for him to develop these very real feelings. I think that that's, like, it's a very astute and very, like, true to life, like, little kid / coming of age twist, and I really love following the inner psychology of all of these characters, which develops a lot over the course of this 15-minute episode. And then on another level, my sort of second opinion is just that Helga and Stinky are two of the best characters in the show, in my opinion. I really love specifically that both of them are opportunities for the writers to flex and demonstrate their incredible vocabularies, right? Like, one of Stinky's major bits is that he talks with an incredible vocabulary, even though he's a quote unquote simple boy who needs things explained to him. And in this episode, he says things like he's melancholy, forlorn, and wistful. He calls his unrequited affection for Helga immature and misbegotten. And then we meanwhile get all sorts of amazing Helga lines too, right? Like when Helga sees Stinky's new girlfriend, spoilers, sit down at the end of the movie, she says, "Who's the skirt?" She at one point she says, "Watch the merchandise." She has another great Arnold monologue about her affection for Arnold in this episode. So really just like, maybe this is me, but like, I love this messy drama. And I love seeing how it affects all of our characters. And I love seeing it like work its course, even when Stinky is so harmed by it. Maybe that's a little bit sick, but I can't get enough of it. So like, I really, really adore this episode and everything that it's saying about like what it feels like to develop a crush for the first time and like what that is actually all about in terms of like the way you're thinking about yourself and the way you're thinking about the other person and what that can do and why that creates so much fascinating and scary dysfunctionality, right? Which we're going to learn in the second episode. It has a lot of different manifestations along those lines, right? So it's great that these were paired the way they were. So yeah, I really, really like this episode.
Yeah, I like that you kind of ended that on the acknowledgement that this is like a brilliant pairing, maybe one of the better complementary pairings that we've seen, which we'll certainly get into, and we might get into how Harry's a sicko who loves messy drama. But we'll pry the mic away from him and toss it over to Emily. Emily, what do you think about Helga's boyfriend?
Yeah, this is quite the episode, I think, to see Helga's scheming again. She comes up with this plan at the beginning to make Arnold jealous, basically. So that's kind of driving this entire episode. And it was reminding me of Operation Ruthless when she tried to pull Arnold's crush, Ruth McDougal, away from him at the cheese fair. But yeah, this is a little cringy as well because we see Stinky falling then for Helga in this way that she has fallen for Arnold. And so it's like this big unrequited triangle that's super messy. And yeah, I think it says a lot about like kids kind of chasing after what they can't have or even just like attachment issues and that kind of playing a role in young crushes or in crushes in general. But yeah, and I also think this is the first time we're really getting to know more about Stinky. So that's a good one for his character development too.
Yeah, this is definitely like the biggest thing that stood out to me. I just kind of dominated my viewing of it this time, but just this is an episode that feels like a distinct, like we're gently nudging against the boundaries that the show has kind of built up towards this point. And like in the last couple of episodes, I think we've alluded to the fact that, you know, we have been seeing these and would like to see more of these new kind of character pairings start to develop, you know, and just kind of exploring those permutations a little bit more. But this is an episode with a lot of new things, and like that fresh energy was really cool. Like new places, even just for one-off scenes, like we're in a movie theater, we're at a roller rink, we're at a park, an unnamed park, you know, Central Park esque you know, type of place. We're in Stinky's house. Like that's, you know, we're talking about inhabiting like interiorities of these characters, but we're also like literally in the interior of the place that they live in. And that's like, I don't know, a cool, easy, efficient way to get inside the head of a character. And, you know, as we meet Stinky's dad and everything else, it's also an episode of, I wrote down like new costumes, you know, like during the various kind of almost like sketches that Helga and Stinky did. And, like this, again, like energy we haven't seen as much from any of these other characters in the same way, but just like for a minute, they're dressed as like ballet dancers in the roller rink. They've got these fancy pants outfits on in the park. Again, just like feels like they're performing, which they are literally for Arnold, but like in that sort of cartoon way of like, we have the budget to, you know, to get these costumes in radar closets a little bit, which was fun. And like, you know, helps to remind you kind of in the way that we've had in previous episodes where it's like, we're, you know, this is a cartoon and we're reminding you that it's a cartoon in a way that's like, you know, we're not slapping you in the face. And finally, the kind of the new power dynamics, which we've talked about, but like seeing Elga, in particular, is the one kind of being chased when she's been the one sort of having that push and pull with Arnold. She's kind of chasing him, but having Helga being the sort of, you know, a person of, you know, that stinky desires is, yeah, it's fresh and new. We're seeing things from like the same perspectives, but through different people's eyes. And that's fresh and fun. Yeah, this episode rules.
Yeah, you used a word that I was actually going to bring up, which is performance. This is an episode that's so interested in role-playing and the role that role-playing and performance plays in childhood development, right? And I think that especially utilizing crushes and the way that crushes sort of foment as children to demonstrate that is really smart because it's so true to life. Do you know what I mean? It's a motif that recurs throughout this episode, right? Like Helga gets the idea to make Arnold jealous from a movie. So she's literally watching a performance on screen. And then, like you said, in all of the sketches that comprise sort of like the main idea of this episode, she's wearing different costumes and she's affecting different personalities, essentially, right? Like she's dressed as like a Southern belle in the park because that's what she thinks a person on a date looks like, right? Or like when they're at the roller derby and they're both dressed up like they're roller derby people. I don't even know what you would call that. But it's so true to sort of like this very nuanced understanding that Hey Arnold has about the fact that like particularly children who are developing, they have to sort of affect things in order to feel things. You know what I mean? Like even you could sort of like make the case that that's what Helga is all about, is that she is like affecting this obsessive love for Arnold because she likes how that makes her feel about herself, right? Or she finds something redemptive within that feeling. And I love to see them play with that concept of like, there's something about being a kid that is about like trying things on and like trying to become a person. And then sometimes you'll find out that while you were trying to become something, you actually became that, right? Like Stinky was pretending to be in love with Helga, but then like something about the category that he was able to view her in just sort of like changed his paradigm such that he could think of her that way. And I think that has a dark side in this episode too, right? Because like the really sad, awful part when Helga turns down Stinky, the way that she frames it is really interesting, right? Because she says like, well, this would never work because I'm Helga Pataki and you're Stinky Peterson, right? And that's like, at least to me, the greatest fear when you're a kid is that there's something categorical that separates you from other people, right? It's like, it's not just that Helga's not interested in him. It's just that she couldn't possibly be interested in him. Like they're on two different levels. And that's what's so scary. And so I love that this episode has sort of a bright ending for Stinky and for all people who have felt that way, I guess. I think that this is a really like sneakily smart episode with a lot of thought about like what it's like to be a kid and what it's like to sort of start to come of age. And I really like the way that they explore that and the way that they're going to continue to explore it throughout the show.
Definitely. Real quick, and something I think you said something to the effect of Harry at one point of like they're trying things on, and not to be too up my own, you know what about it, but like that kind of to circle back to it, like that's kind of what the show feels like it's doing in general by like taking the time to explore these new characters, and in a lot of ways, this is not like any other sort of episode. I'd say it's not like any episode that we've seen of Hey Arnold, but it had a different feeling and flavor to it. It's an episode that Arnold is not, you know, the main character of, which is not altogether unique, but like establishing the interiority of somebody like Stinky. As Emily said, this is his, like, certainly his big kind of episode debut. And we're learning about him. He's kind of seen as a goofy background presence. He's taller than everybody else. He's got a very distinct look to him. But he speaks very carefully. He uses big words. And like part of me wonders on what level are these showrunners, are these directors, are these writers thinking about like what sorts of things they can get out of Stinky, like what sorts of things from a Stinky specific episode can they take from, and like, you know, if we look ahead to future episodes where like Stinky maybe has a line or two, or Sid has a line or two, or Rhonda has a line or two, like what sorts of things stick out? Like, will it be Stinky's sort of drawl? Will it be his sort of like his ability to like show emotion in ways that a lot of characters on Hey Arnold haven't really yet? You know, we see a lot, like a wide range of emotions from Stinky this episode. Will it be his like penchant for using SAT words? You know, the sort of Calvin and Hobbes effect of like a kid using these like really intelligent, like kind of means of communicating, like an extensive lexicon, things like that. So yeah, again, I like probably a little too meta for maybe what the show was thinking about doing or doing at the time. But like, I can't help but think about that just because this feels like a potential step into like a new stage of Hey Arnold, where we and I haven't looked ahead to see like what lies ahead as far as like character introductions, but like that feels entirely possible, right? Like, we've got a very firm kind of baseline of characters and world beneath us, and it's, you know, now we're asking ourselves like, who else is out there? Who else can we like hang out with for an episode and learn a little bit more about them?
I've just been thinking about how we were talking about Helga's self-awareness recently on a recent episode of Stoop Kids, and how like pointed that is here, where she's like, she lacks a self-awareness though when it comes to Arnold and her love for him specifically, how he'll never return the same feelings for her. So I just think that really hits home here. It like makes the whole unrequited love thing for her even more heartbreaking. I think it also just says a lot about where she's at, probably just with her family and her relationships to her parents, like how that has just kind of broken her in this way. Like, she's very self-aware in all these other ways, but she needs to go to therapy when she's older, basically. For sure. And I'm also thinking about, we were talking about Gloria, and she made an appearance. So the character who's Gloria at the end, she's Stinky's new girlfriend. She made an appearance in Magic Show as like, basically like she was just dreamed up by Helga. And we thought she was like this version of, or an imagined version of Helga that was a better version of her that Helga was coming up with in her head. But in this episode, it seems that she's maybe actually a real person. It's kind of confused there at the end. So I'm wondering what y'all are thinking Ooh. About with all of this.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, by the way. I was in my own head wild, and when I saw Gloria make her reappearance, I did not remember that she was like a canonical real life character on the show. And my initial thought was like, is this like an Inception type episode of like, what reality is Helga living in right now? That's like the fun, or it, you know, reading between the lines, not very fun interpretation of media that the internet likes to fall back on. It is, I think, maybe more interesting for me now that I'm kind of, again, pulling my head out of my own, you know what, like the idea that Gloria is painted in Helga's head as sort of the antithetical version of Helga, and like that's who Stinky is with right now. So like that's its own separate discussion of like the things that like attract us as people, and the things that like are maybe best for like companionship, or like people who are complimentary for one another. Like, how thin is that line between somebody like Stinky feeling that you know, he's in love with Helga versus him being in love with the opposite of Helga? Yeah, I have no answers to it, but it's like it's accidentally like a wild thing to throw in this episode for a few different reasons, and I'm just glad it's there.
That's really, it's hilariously emblematic of what this whole episode is doing, right? Which is, it's having so much fun, and it's doing so many of the things that we expect Hey Arnold to do and that we love Hey Arnold for doing, but it does so with just enough sort of like winking nuance that it opens up this huge dimensionality to it, right? Like, you're right, it is, it's like an in-joke for people who had seen Magic Show that it would be Gloria, but it also, it absolutely grants a huge, like a whole other reading to the conclusion of this episode, right? And it's like, it's a twisting of the knife to Helga, but then it also makes the fact that Helga returns right to pining for Arnold again, sort of redemptive or sort of demonstrative of how she deals with those complex feelings, which works into the role play thing again, right? And similarly, Cody, you had said something about how we see so many different facets of Stinky and his character opens up in this episode, and that's sort of like almost on a meta or formal level what the show seems to be all about. And I think I like totally agree with that, right? Like, I think formally this show is about creating a bunch of characters that we love and that we can understand at a glance, and then opening them up to new dimensions in order to sort of like not only blow up our previous understanding, but use that those templates and those ideas toward a better new understanding with more nuance, right? Like, that's kind of what they do with tropes, and it's kind of what they do with characters too. And I think it's really interesting how Stinky sort of, in a weird way, parallels Helga, in the sense that like all of Helga's different facets, all of the woman behind the mask, as Stinky calls her, are performative in different and somewhat contradictory ways, right? Like, Helga the bully is not who Helga is, and Helga the Arnold lover is not who Helga is, and Helga the sensitive soul is not just who Helga is. They are all who Helga is, right? And like, the fact that this show can demonstrate that complexity of character and hold all of those in tandem to think about how they all define a character and they all make up a person is really special to me, right? And I think that it does that increasingly with all of its characters. And it does it without being too up your own, you know what, like you had said, Cody, because it's like Stinky is a very funny character who we can immediately recognize. And the fact that he also talks with a like graduate student level vocabulary, like you said, ACT words, it's not just irony for the sake of being funny, and it's not punching down. It's just another aspect of who he is that we have to hold in tandem with the other parts of him, right? Like, it's those are all just part. They're all just facets of these people, and they demonstrate a depth of personality that is demonstrative of real life, and just makes for great characters and makes for episodes with great stakes and great nuance to them, like we can have here, because these characters are as developed as they are in a show that is as interested in utilizing the ways in which they're developed as this one is.
Very beautifully characterized. On the note of the different facets that make up people and characters, and I guess this is me sort of segueing into my lone shout out for the episode. It's a negative one. Stinky sitting in front of everybody at the movie theater, despite being like, what, 6.5 feet tall? That's a major, major breach of etiquette. I don't know. I don't typically take it upon myself to like talk to people in theaters, you know, get people to behave, but oof, I don't know, that would sit weird with me. I don't know, I much to consider, but I'll leave that alone. I'll open it up to the rest of y'all if there are any other kind of stray thoughts you had about this episode.
Whew, Cody is casting shade there.
I'm casting shade. I'm coming for you, Stinky Peterson.
Yeah, sit in the back row, buddy. You're too tall.
The back of the theater is the place to be anyway. Sorry, Emily. I just had to get that in. Go ahead.
Yes, that I know that you and Harry feel very strongly, and Jason, about that. Back row, baby. I just wanted to shout out Stinky saying this really bites in the saddest way he has ever said that before. That his tagline really hits home there in the way that he says it. He's brooding and heartbroken there. And then another quick shout out to Helga referring to Arnold as a wing-haired spitwad. Great burn, Helga.
Yeah, those are both great. There are a couple of moments that are just so funny in this episode. At one point, Helga breaks up with Stinky after she gets out of the hospital, having been stung by a bunch of hornets that attacked her hat that she was wearing when she was in the park. And she goes, I think we have to see other people, et cetera, et cetera. It's like a surprisingly dramatic breakup, which is kind of the humor. But then as she's walking away, she sneezes and Stinky goes, God bless you, my darling, because that's how he had been trained by Helga to talk to her. And she just goes, thanks. That just kills me. Like, I thought that was very funny. In general, I just love Stinky, the down bad king in this episode. I love when he's walking around and he's just crushed. And like, I love that we get to explore that interiority in this character that we thought was one note. I'm all about that. I love that we get to see his hilarious log cabin in the middle of the city and meet his dad or his grandpa or whoever that man is. I really, really like this episode a lot, I guess.
Yeah. Got to give props to Stinky, who went on probably to become the greatest wife guy the world has ever known. We salute a true king, a down bad king, as Harry said. But I think that does conclude the first half of this episode. Depending on the device you're using to listen to this, you may need to pause and flip the tape over to side B. Just a heads up on that. But in the meantime, don't touch that dial because we've got a whole other half of episode 21, that is, to talk about. So don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We are here's talking into your ears about episode 21B of Hey Arnold, which is, of course, called Crush on Teacher. Original air date for this episode was January 8th, 1997, and the Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. If you're just joining us from episode 21A, you remember that, like, 10-word summary. This one's going to be a little bit more substantive, and here we go. Arnold develops a crush on Miss Felter, a substitute teacher, thinking she returns the feelings and that he is having dinner at her house, only to realize that the one she invited was her fiancé, whose name is also Arnold. Whew! And shouting out up top, the legendary guest star for this episode, Julia Louis-Dreyfus of Seinfeld fame and many other works, as Miss Felter. Shout outs to, again, a true legend, and shout out to the other legends who helped make this episode possible. We've got Jamie Mitchell back supervising the direction. We've got George Shaltis and Stark Howell co-directing the episode, and the lone writing credit for this episode, the Purd Man returns, Joseph Purdy. This is a Purdy joint, everyone. Another great crew for this episode, and another great crew to talk about this episode, starting with Emily. Emily, what did you think about Crush on Teacher?
Yeah, woof, what an episode. This, I think this might be the most cringe episode of Arnold we've seen, in doing Stoop Kids so far. It is relatable. It was making me think back to my old crushes on teachers in grade school and stuff. But yeah, we see Arnold just nonstop daydreaming. He just can't get his head out of the clouds in this one. And really hilarious advice from Gerald, who is trying to talk him into going on what they think is sort of a date with the teacher, as they've misunderstood everything leading up to this point. And yeah, it's kind of a mess with all of that, but pretty funny as well as just really cringe humor, because Arnold is crushing so hard on his adult teacher who he doesn't stand a chance with, but who they just think that he has a chance with after the greatest misunderstanding of all time. And yeah, I think Gerald is a standout here for his advice on how to talk to the teacher and how to win her over, which reminds me of the sixth grade girls episode where he was teaching Arnold all of his moves and, or dance moves and like lines and stuff to pick up the sixth grade girls. That's about it, how I feel about it. Bit cringe.
Very cringe. The cringe is incredibly real, even for somebody like me. I don't think I ever had a crush on a teacher that I had, but I was still squirming in my seat when we were rewatching this. All right, Mr. Tough Guy, you can regale us with the fanciful stories of your grade school crushes. Harry, why don't you get into it?
I mean, I was an English major, dog. Like, every single person who was an English major was an English major because they had a crush on an English teacher.
Oh, boy. We're going to have to censor this, Jason. Tread lightly.
Well, suffice to say, yes, I, like many people, had a crush on a teacher. I like this episode a lot as well. It's a strange blend of humor that we don't get a ton of in Hey Arnold, because as Emily noted, it is like actually hard to watch in the like classic mix up comedy, sort of like romantic comedy style that is a very different flavor than we usually get from Hey Arnold. It is like it manages it perfectly because of how funny the episode is, and because it is a really great companion both to sort of the overarching ideas of Hey Arnold and to Helga's Boyfriend, the episode we just watched, in that it's exploring what it means for a 9-year-old to have a crush, right? And exploring and really like demonstrating the ways in which it's really not a crush in the sort of adolescent or adult sense of the word. It's something that is no less complex, but sort of categorically different, right? Like Arnold, when he is having his daydream fantasies about Miss Felter, Skelter is her fiance, not her husband. He imagines them drinking milkshakes together, right? And like that's as far as that goes, and as far as he can conceive of. So like, there's a really funny, interesting suggestion here that like, and I think it's true, and I think it's important, right, in a weird way, to make this statement with as much grace as they do, that like, these are not crushes in the like adolescent sense, right? There is no sexual tension between these people. Like, Arnold doesn't have those feelings. He's 9 years old, right? And so like, it becomes something that is just as important to unpack, which is like a matter of identity and a matter of like what we're thinking about when we think about ourselves. And like, Arnold really loves the idea that this older woman could feel that way about him because of something it suggests about himself, right? And like, when you start to consider that dimension to the way that this show is thinking about crushes, and you apply it backward to all of the other crushes that we see play out throughout this show, it's like, it's a very important point to make, right? So like, this is, you know, in a lot of ways, a really fascinating episode, in addition to how funny and good it is, because it's like a clarifying point about what we're talking about when we talk about this show, right? And I really like it for that reason. And I really like it because Gerald is the best friend ever. And I really like it because I really like looking at Arnold when he gets all dressed up, and he looks great. My man looks great in that scene. So yeah, a lot of great stuff happening here. A little cringe, as Emily noted, little cringe.
I think you both nailed it on the head. I'm going to start by saying that this episode is pretty cringe. But it's also, both of you eventually landed upon Gerald. And so like, I'll just take a few moments that like, this is like, it fits an almost perfect pattern of Hey Arnold episodes. Every, you know, handful, we get an episode where Gerald is exactly what the episode needs when it's needed, like when he's kind of ragging on Arnold for having a crush in the first place, like we are laughing with him and at Arnold, you know, in a sense. But then he quickly pivots to being that ideal kind of best friend wingman, rather, as he's, you know, feeding him advice, getting him dressed up, teaching him how to purr, you know, and reiterating it via walkie-talkie. So that's always good to see. This is also the fantasy and kind of daydream sequences of this episode stood out to me as sort of like they more so defined the episode than maybe what I remember other episodes doing. Like, we get at least two that are very in Arnold's head, and those sort of inform the framework and the perspective of the episode, like kind of in the way that, like, you know, the episode with the train where it's, you know, we start the episode with Arnold's grandpa kind of telling these kids this thing, and it's just to like get them to go out into the world, but like that his view of the world that like affects the kids' view of the world, and like that's how we're just viewing the city and viewing that episode. This is kind of like a similar but different type of like not unreliable narrator, but something in that way where it's, you know, Arnold can't really keep it together, and we can kind of see him, you know, go all in on this crush he has, which, you know, I'll just end on, you know, I racked my brain, and I hate to be left out. Everybody really wants to, you know, really, again, go all in on this episode. I creative writing instructor in college. I had a big crush on her. So there you go. We can all be happy.
Grad student? Was this just a grad? That doesn't count.
Look, it's an instructor. What do you want from me? I'm from Southeastern Minnesota. What kind of teachers do you think we have out there?
Everyone had a crush on me. All right.
Look, don't point your fingers at me and accuse me of not, you know what? Just take it away, somebody. I'm too steamed.
Yeah, I'll do that. That's usually what I do is I talk until Cody is so angry he can't talk anymore, and then I get to keep talking. That was sort of my end game. I really loved what you said about the daydreams, Cody. I really love how these episodes in pairing and the way that they explore romantic relationships really become about how these children are processing like new feelings and sort of like the complexity of trying on new feelings, right? Is that like it's a place where imagination is so important, right? Because it's like Arnold is basically living in a fantasy world throughout this episode, kind of in a similar way that Helga or Stinky were in the last episode. And like there is a sense in which this show is talking about how those fantasy worlds and the sort of little sort of narratives that children construct in which they're the main characters within them, they're sort of an important coming of age like process, right? And I think that again, like that has thematic implications across the show, right? Is that like all of these things that these people are doing were like, Arnold sort of constructs this fantasy where the teacher could have a crush on him and tries to see it through. Helga tries to make Stinky her boyfriend, and then Stinky gets into a fantasy that he's really in love with her, that they should be together. It's like these are all ways of kids processing new emotions that they're sort of like wading into for the first time, right? Like these are new categories that are opening up in their heads, and they're like processing them. And like it's... in sort of like classic psychological terms, like it, I think that's a real reason why crushes on teachers happen, right? Because it's like, there's a, you know, I don't want to get too weird about it, but like there's a Freudian thing. They're like an authority.
This episode is already very, very weird. We may as well just keep going. Cool.
Well, I mean, like, so it just makes sense, right? Like, I think there's a reason why almost everybody's first crush is on a teacher, right? And it's like, I think that using that in the sense of, a show that's already about thinking through what it's like to come of age and what happens as you sort of start to grow and start to see the world through an adult's eyes for the first time, or begin to, what that looks like. And so I think that like the way that they're playing with that here is really great. And also, you know, I mean, if Julia Louis-Dreyfus circa 1997, my man doesn't stand a chance. Right? Like, come on. All right, I'm done.
It was interesting that and this has no real bearing on anything, like the animation design of these episodes is obviously like God tier, but like for especially like big kind of celebrity guests, you know, guest voices, like on some level you would think that like they would match the voice to the character and vice versa, like the character to the person portraying. Like you were talking about Pigeon Man, and he's, you know, kind of got the like those sullen eyes that I think we talked about a little bit. Like there's a little something there, obviously. My man did not, and I'm blanking on his name because I suck, but like he wasn't, you know, he didn't look like Pigeon Man, but just like I don't know, like Miss Felter was like a blonde woman. I don't know, like that kind of threw me for a loop, and I almost didn't believe it when I was like looking at screen caps from the episode and was like, oh, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. That was an interesting, I don't know, that the show fascinates me to no end. The one we're talking about like fantasies, you know, a little bit, and just to add a little bit more, the scene that really kind of sent me this episode was when Arnold starts to dip into his sort of fantasies of thinking about his substitute teacher, and it, you know, he's doing math alone in his bedroom. There's this sort of like ethereal, tonal, like higher pitch tonal kind of music. It's not to, I don't know. I guess I could afford to pull back the curtain a little bit more on myself, because I apparently haven't done a great job at like sharing at my past history this episode. But like whenever I'm at work at home doing work and I need to like concentrate a little bit more and just like boggle down, I'll put on music that sounds just like that. It's just like, oh wow, you know, this is nice, like stress-free, and I just need it was juxtaposed with the image of like Arnold doing something that I distinctly remember doing in grade school, just like sitting in front of a piece of paper with like division problems, you know, just like math. It's just, well, it's just me and my brain and the world, and I don't know, that was like a very this episode's like sent me to places and really got me in ways that are maybe like not as obvious, but I don't know, shouting out that a little bit, that's I felt a little something there. Shout out to Jim Lang as always.
While you're studying along to chill beats to study to in the background with your on your cassette player.
If I told my 7-year-old self that I'd be jamming out doing work to lo-fi beats to study to, then he would have had some serious questions. But you're right,
for sure. I was just thinking too about the end. So we have Gerald's really hilarious advice to Arnold about like, these are the things that you can do to set yourself up for success with an older woman, like, you know, and making sure if you see fancy napkins, like, know that that's a sign. If you hear any music, that is a sign. And you're going to want to tell her that she set a beautiful table, my fair senorita, and then make sure to purr. So, like, he's giving him the most ridiculous advice ever. But the fact that then the episode ends with Miss Felter's actual fiancé saying that same line of, you set a beautiful table, my fair senorita.
Wow. That's excellent.
Thank you.
Impressive.
Thank you. Yeah. I just think that's super funny. And it does tamper a bit on the level of cringe that we have hit by that end. Obviously, Arnold's dejected as he's walking out and Gerald's picking him up by the shoulders there. But yeah, that's really funny that somehow Gerald's advice that's just outlandish actually was true in this case.
Or just that the outlandish advice is all anybody's got, right? I love that implication as well. You characterized that really well, Emily. I think that one of the reasons why this episode works so well and it's so funny and it's so cringe, and it can be both of those things at once, is that like the humor is not just like a well-constructed scene. It's also like a deeper thematic through line. Right. And I know that's a very me thing to say, but like just the fact that like Arnold and Gerald are gamifying their experience with this person, right? Like when Gerald figures out or thinks he figures out that the teacher really does have a crush on his friend, his first thing that he thinks to do is to like be the bug in Arnold's ear, which is, again, like they don't show it, but you know, he got that idea from like a television show, right? It's like, it's a classic theme or a classic meme. Meanwhile, Arnold is taking all of his advice like straight up, because that's just what you do in these situations, right? And there are people there. These are children who have no understanding of why they're doing the things that they're doing. Like, they don't know what the purr signifies insofar as it signifies anything. They don't know why the fancy napkins are important. These are all just signs and signifiers that are totally devoid of meaning, but that they understand other people, more mature people, adult people, have meaning, and they're trying to sort of like trick themselves into deriving that meaning or convince somebody that they already have that meaning derived. And that sort of fake it until you make it is so true to what it is to be a kid, right? Like, all of these things that you do that you don't understand why you're doing them, except that you've seen adults do them. And you're hoping that you can sort of like pick it up as you go. And then I really love the ending, right? Which implies that like, that's all anybody does, right? It's like, we're all just picking it up as we go. Like, this Arnold Skelter guy, he's not smooth. He read the same like self-help book that Gerald did, because that's all that there is, right?
Yeah, it kind of what you two just covered is, yeah, like a nice sort of inversion of the whole, like, hey, adults are stupid after all kind of thing. Not necessarily an inversion, but like a kind of cousin of that ideology of like, you know, adults don't know what they're doing either. Again, you both said it very well. My two miscellaneous remaining threads, I laughed audibly at the animation of Arnold getting pegged with a baseball in the gut when he gets caught. This is the daydream where we're not necessarily in his head, but he sees Miss Felter driving by and he's not paying attention. He just gets socked in the gut by this baseball. That was very funny. And also, shout out to what I think is the first time this happens, maybe the sort of like fourth wall breaking, it's Helga who asks aloud, like, wait, what is his last name? That was funny, unless I'm forgetting a time when they did that previously. It just really, yeah, it really stood out to me. And yeah, we'll see more of that for sure. We also, I guess, come to think of it, wow, we had a few of those this episode. Yeah, this one specifically, when he's kind of like the Arnold shirt, you know, question of like, is it a shirt? Is it a skirt? I mean, like this, yeah, as this episode proves, when he's kind of like disrobing, I mean, it's clearly two layered shirts. Wow, myth busted. We did it. Anyways, I'm going to be basking in that. What else did y'all have to touch on?
I'm glad you pointed out the shirt thing. My shout outs include the Peanuts like or Charlie Brown Linus type smile that Arnold has, oh, yeah, as he's daydreaming. Thought that was a nice little, I mean, maybe not a direct Peanuts nod, but that's what it reminded me of. It's got the like crimpled up type of smile. That's a bunch of wavy lines. The smirk. And then shout out to the walkie talkies in general, like, that's a good throwback, just remembering using walkie-talkies with my little bro around the house, like, for no reason other than, like, it's cool to use walkie-talkies. So I think that
it's
this is
cool to use walkie-talkies.
Yes. I think this is a excellent use of walkie-talkies here in this episode. And then shout out to just, like, the way the level of nervousness that Arnold is experiencing at Miss Felter's house. Just, it's making me laugh thinking about it. But he like rubs his hands together really quickly as he's repeating the table line about my fair señorita. It just, man, you feel for him is all. That's my final shout out.
I'm grinding my teeth just hearing you describe that scene again, Emily. Like, it is absolutely like goosebump inducing how uncomfortable, viscerally uncomfortable that scene makes me. So shout outs to that scene. Shout outs to Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who is like actually doing a really great job voice acting in this episode, right? Like, she doesn't sound like Elaine Bennis, right? She sounds like a character, which is really interesting. And like you said, Cody, kind of surprising given what sort of stunt celebrity voice actors are usually all about. Yeah, again, shout outs to Gerald. All of his advice is so funny. You said a fair table, my fair señorita. Just, I can't purr. That's, as Cody noted, that's why I'm single. Yeah, I really love both of these episodes. I think they're a great companion piece, and I think that together they sort of like, they do a really interesting thing about the sort of thesis statement of Hey Arnold, which continues to sort of evolve as we go on. So really great episodes to watch. You've probably already watched them if you're listening to this, so I don't know why I'm like recommending them to you, but these are good ones, so check them out.
Check them out indeed. Yeah, as the show evolves, we will maybe hopefully evolve too. You're already learning so much more about us than you ever wanted to, dear listener. So thank you for sticking around for this wild, crazy ride. With that, I want to say thank you again for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Like all mistaken romances founded upon a misunderstanding, this episode must also come to an end. But rest assured, your romance with us is most definitely real, which means you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. That's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody _ BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
And as Oh, have a hanky, my pet.